Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team, led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
This is The Potty with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
Women and men, boys and girls, it is...
Oh,
Serene. Okay. Danny's trying to do his... Serene's eating, eating speculums. Serene, Danny, try again.
I'm in my glory moment. Mm-hmm. I'm like riding the glory wind and Serene.
Hey, they told me I had to be here at 12 o'clock on the dot. Does any other person think 12 speaks lunch?
Yeah,
no,
I'm eating beach hungry.
I got me salad.
Speaks like...
Okay, you ready?
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
Women and men, boys and girls, welcome back to another fabulous episode of the Trim Healthy Podcast with your hosts, Serene, Pearl, and Danny. And today, we're talking about things that are important, aren't we?
We do want to welcome back John, though. John's been gone. I'm so glad to have John here back. Skinny John is his new name. As many of you know, John got severely injured.
Got ribbed.
He got things pushed into his body in weird ways.
Well,
what? That's the worst description of what happened to John ever.
Look, he broke ribs, but he also, his solar plexus got
like
pushed in
like
the wrong direction.
Some torture board. Yeah. And rusty nails jabbed into his nostrils and earlobes. And
his solar plexus got...
May I share what happened to John?
Yeah, okay. Don't.
John Mike Tysoned on a...
hoverboard.
On a hoverboard. Have you guys seen that?
Millennial.
Have you seen that video
hoverboard?
Of Mike Tyson? He's trying out his hoverboard in his living room, and he just
we're not millennials, so we didn't see that.
It's the worst fall ever. I imagine it was something like that. But basically, John was on a hoverboard, and if you don't know what a hoverboard is, it's not like in the movie.
I know what it is.
Google
I watched
hoverboard.
Back to the Future.
Yeah, it's not like that. It's a modern version with real wheels. But anyways, he busted, broke his ribs and his hips and his backs and his spines and his man. He got like super injured and was in so much pain that the man couldn't even eat. It was more painful to eat.
Listen, can we just say some tragic, funny story here? Are we allowed to like say, are we allowed, John, to take precious little things that you shared in our ears and share
our ears
to
only?
The public, to the ravenous?
For our ears only.
Pearl did share. I said, how's darling skinny John doing? Because everyone said
he's gay. Already skinny and he's lost 30 pounds. So
like
you can imagine how
skinny like he lost, his little cute John. He's just a little cute John right now.
He's like
so
a teen.
I said, how's skinny John doing? She goes, oh, he's great. He's really great. He said that he's, you know, that he wouldn't take, it was a terrible thing to go through, but he kind of glad he went through it for things he actually learned through it, which is so sovereign, right? Sovereign to see all these awful situations and say, hey, I learned something from that. So I'm glad I went through it. Pearl said, yeah.
She's going right there, John.
We can delete. You know,
yeah,
we can
if it's too
delete,
private.
If it's too private. So I'm going right there, John. And Pearl said, yes, well, you know, he was in so much pain. He could not move at all. But humans still have to use the restroom. And he just couldn't really do it. Let me say the way I need to.
Chew your food, Pearl.
Anyway.
You're moving the board.
Pearl. I will say my little way and you can fix it because you were the one that first heard the conversation. I've never talked to John personally about this, but the way it got in my mind was his wife, sweet, wonderful, amazing Dawn, is going to be able to be walking again. I believe it and so many people are believing it in prayer with her. But she has, a situation where she is on a scooter and she's the most amazing, happiest person in the world, though. That's another thing, to meet such an amazing person. You know, who is actually in a situation where they could be in a bad mood, but she's like the opposite. But anyway, she has a scooter. But John usually is the one helping his wife in situations, but he has to be helped, but his wife is on the scooter. So the wife on the scooter is helping John get on the scooter and they're riding tandem on the scooter.
Two scooters.
Down the hall,
one scooter.
But tandem.
Oh, you guys
piggyback.
Are on each other's scooter.
Riding him to the bathroom. It took an hour, right? Are we going to let John set for himself?
So Don was helping him around.
Yes, on
life.
Her scooter.
That's crazy.
Well, I'm glad we're all talking about my bathroom escapades here. No, actually it was really a golden golden moment. You know, there's been times when I've had to help my wife up and down, and I've actually shared this with Charlie before, that in those moments, it's almost like we get to slow dance. And you know, and it's those moments where I fall just even more in love with her. And in this particular instance, there was several days where I could not walk on my own. And so she would pull up in front of me and I would basically use her, the front, she would back up and I would use her scooter as a walker, and she would back into the bathroom and help me get there and back. And it was kind of another one of those other tender moments where it really hurt to laugh, but we both started chuckling because we were both so pathetically handicapped, but we were getting it done. We were making it happen. And so it was just one of many, many sweet moments that occurred during some pretty dark and painful times. But yeah, it is after 19 years of marriage. Hey, this Saturday is 19 years. So
that's
happy
so
anniversary,
fantastic.
Baby, I know you're listening. And yes, it is possible to keep falling deeper in love after all that time. So,
oh, that's so precious.
Juan.
See?
Oh, here we go.
Skinny Juan.
See, skinny people, Juan. Some people go away, you know, to Bahamas, and there's nothing wrong with that, right? Bermuda, you know, what are those other places? Like
Jamaica.
Yeah.
Ooh, I want to take you.
Yeah, all that.
Okay.
But, you know, they're slow dancing in the hall with their scooter. And I tell you what, I've never heard such poignant love words.
Were they slow dancing?
You heard him.
Where were you, Millennial, on your phone?
No, sorry. I was writing down these notes because they were really
He was saying
precious.
That it was like her trying to lift him in onto the back of the scooter, and they're both going so slow, and they got their arms around one another, and they're both so handicapped right
Depending
now. He was
other.
Saying it was like a slow dance.
Oh,
love.
I knew that. I didn't know they actually... Slow dance.
No, it was an analogy. Today I want to broach a subject we haven't really broached before. It's personal. I want you to know that I'm not sitting here like trying to defend ourselves and, oh, you meanies and all that, because I know pretty much everyone's listening right now. You tune in because you like our podcast, and that's fine. But I want to say, even if you don't like it, I want to talk to you too. And that's fine. I just want to talk about social media as a whole. I feel like it's time. I'm on the groups a lot, and I'm sort of seeing something happening that sort of, I don't know, a bird just ran into the window here. It's sort of hurting my soul a little bit. And I feel like we, all of us, me included, Serene doesn't have to worry about this because she's not on social media, just need to take pause and think about our words.
But
big
I
time.
Have to
yeah.
think about that, because it's not just – their problem's been around since the Dark Ages.
Yeah, since the days. But now we don't have to stare someone in the face and say something. So when we say something, we can say it almost like they're not there and like it's not going to affect them.
But words do affect.
Yeah, words always affect. And words have power. We've talked about potties after potties after potties, saying that your word – it's a – physical law, right, and a spiritual law, just like gravity has power on this earth. Words have power. The universe was set up with words. Let there be light.
Yeah, life and death are in the power, of the tongue.
Pearl.
Yeah, mate.
Who hurt you?
It wasn't a hurt. It was just a bit of a justice thing, I think. It was on the group. And
yeah, because your whole new self, Pearl, the whole new self, like that offended girl is dead. Remember you killed
her
off?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, you didn't. God did on the cross, right?
It's not that I'm like offended and hurt. No, it was mean. It's not, I don't feel like that. I just want to be different myself. I want us all to sort of come up with something new. There's some crazy stuff going out on social media, so let's talk about it, right? Okay, so on the Trim Healthy Mama group, and I'm not pointing this lady out because we have the most kindest ladies in the world, and this has happened over and over, but there were some posts that said...
And some people are very kind that even say this, because
this
it's just
lady
so
is
normal
a lovely
these days
lady.
To say things.
I know she is. I know, and I know, and she even said, my words were not intended to come across that way. I know she didn't mean to be offensive. But she said, anyone else really annoyed by the podcast? They talk all over one another. Okay, truth. Yes, we do. I can't really follow what they're saying. I wish they'd get to the point. True, we get to the points sort of now and then. We go on rabbit trails. Anyone else feel the same way? So I answered. I said, fair enough if our podcasts are not your thing, right? You don't even have to listen. This is free. We just throw it out there. And we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it any other way. We are who we are. But asking, you know, if they annoy someone, that might hinder someone else from listening when something we say could actually change their life, right? I feel like asking anyone else annoyed by the podcast, you know, when we're there, we're praying about what to say every week. Serena and I are talking about it. Serena and I really, and you, Danny, we feel like we bring some things, even in our quirky, weird way that some people find annoying. We bring some depth here, and it's not everybody's cup of tea. But I feel like if we need to realize that there's always someone on the end of that social media post we're doing, and that eyes are going to see that, hearts are going to feel that, ears are going to hear that, and it's going to have impact. That's just what I want to say.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. Because I think, you know, here I am again, stealing wonderful insights from Graham Cook.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, I just been really, I go through seasons of listening to different people, you know, and just really love Graham Cook because he has so much scripture involved in his speaking. So again, I was walking my toddlers down the road the other day listening to him, and he's like, you know, people often say, hey, we've got to, I'm just saying this in love. I'm just saying truth and love. I'm just speaking this in love. And he's like, no, you're not, you slimy toads. No, you're not. Because he's like, there's something different between, how did he put it? I may say it wrong, so forgive me. But
forgive me. Does Graham Cook even know about us that we keep promoting his?
No, he doesn't. No, we exist.
Nah.
But I think he's awesome. I think he's awesome because Jesus is in him.
Yeah.
So maybe we're awesome because Jesus is us.
I think we are.
Stuff. Yeah. But anyway, he said there's something hugely different between what is true and truth.
Right. Okay.
Because he said, you know, says you could say, well, I'm just being honest. I'm just being truthful with this person. But, you know, that they may be the facts. Hey, sweet girl, darling, can you take her out for just a little bit? My brain's trying to concentrate. And okay. You're awesome. You're brilliant. Okay, so there might be a fact that somebody is a real frustrating pain.
Right.
And you hate the shirt they're wearing, and there's a booger coming out of their nose and a few other things, right? That may all be total truth. True. I forget the way he says it. But it's not necessarily what is true. He said, because we're all a bunch of sinners, right? We're all a bunch of scum. But that's not actual what's true. What true is our identity in Christ. How God sees us is what is true, right? And it's like when you weren't meant to be speaking truth and love, you're speaking what God sees. You're not speaking all that junk. You're not meant to go to other people and speak about what you don't like about them.
Okay.
That's actually not. I wish I could say it the right way. He said one is truth.
But I don't know which one's true and which one's truth. But I'm getting what you're saying. Huge.
That's where I was. I was like,
it's true and truth. I think truth is the main thing. Truth.
But it doesn't
truth.
Matter which one he said. I'm getting it
we
right
get the
then.
Point.
Yeah. The point.
It's the same thing in marriage, right? If we spoke all the my husband to me, I'm sure, right, spoke all the actual glaring things about it all, we'd all be divorced within 6 months.
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't do it.
Yeah.
What do? You build up the other person.
Build
you turn
up.
A blind
That's
eye
word.
To their faults.
That, he said, building you up. Turn- he said, that is truth. What are we called to do as brothers and sisters in Christ? What are we called to do just to the world around us? To build them up, to bring them to their true identity, why they were created, how God sees them, how beautiful they are in the eyes of God and then in the eyes meant to be in the eyes of everybody. But instead we go and just say the stupid little facts that are true. That's not
right.
truth. That's not truth. So, you know, in my life, I've had some children who have adopted and they've gone through hard stuff. And because they've gone through so much junk at an early age and they didn't have a certain covering that, you know, they've caused a lot of pain in their life because they've been, you know, they've had pain brought to them. Anyway, but I could keep that whole thing rolling by saying, you know, that wasn't right that you were doing that and doing all that crazy stuff. That is you're being such a failure in that area and you just got to stop being a failure and blah, blah. I could just go down the line on all the things that are true about them. But what's that going to do for them?
Mm.
Nothing. That's the devil in their life.
Yeah.
Just the spirit of condemnation, right? But what is truth? What is truth? building them up and who they really are.
Yeah.
So there is a difference. You know, speaking truth in love is not just bringing out the clear facts of people's failures.
Yeah.
What you hate.
Are you all being,
I know you're going for it.
Are you all being very conscious of talking over one another right now?
No.
No, I think because it's a bit of a deeper thing where for some reason we're not. I don't know what it is.
And just to speak the truth in love right now. No, I'm just teasing. I really feel a freedom of Pearl and I grew up talking over one another. And if I was to change that now, it almost to be change the trueness of our heritage, of who we are.
Yeah, but I do feel like we could listen, we could try to do it less. Because sometimes I listen to our podcast and I am like, no, we talk all over one another. Let's try and work on that. But we can't change the essence of who we are. Why? Okay? Anyone can change into anything they want to be, Danny, right?
Yeah.
But why? Because we don't have to do this podcast and we love getting together, us three, and just being in our living room, actually us five, John and Leslie Pops, and letting joy flow. If we're going to come here and try to be a certain podcast because that's what a few people want and they just want the facts, joy's not going to flow. And
hey, guess what? Pasamo found me just then.
We're not going to be who we are. What?
Pasamo found me like the notes of Graham Cook's thing that I was – you know, because otherwise we're just like really, we're like really ruining a good thing.
Associate producer Leslie Pops.
So, yeah. So it says here.
He has notes, see? That's what people want from us.
Notes. This is pro. Graham went pro.
This plays out for ourselves and others. Speaking the truth in love is not stating someone's shortcomings as nicely as possible because that is not the truth.
Oh, there we go. He does say
that's
better.
Not the truth. That is only true.
Oh,
but the truth is, this is who you are in Jesus, blah, 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 blah.
So she had it backwards.
See, when we are speaking the truth in love, we are not putting someone down nicely.
Ooh.
We are elevating someone brilliantly.
Oh, love.
Okay.
We are saying to people, you don't need to be doing
that. She's going to keep going.
Because this is who you are. You speak the truth in love to empower somebody. You make them want to become that person. This is who you are. You are brilliant. This is who Jesus is viewed. This is who Jesus is viewed.
You're going to have to go copyright soon because you can't do it too much.
But my point being is that clearly.
Dan, your turn. You say what you want because then I have a million trillion things to say after that.
Can we have, you know how there'll be like quotes on Instagram, you know, and somebody, you know, share with somebody you love or whatever. Could we quote blah, 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 dash Graham Cook?
Yeah, probs.
Hey, you're listening to The Potty with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Potty with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
I want to quote my father, good old Fathy, good old Pappy, good old Pappy Colin.
Pappy Colin.
He's never called him Pappy in his life.
No, never. I call him Daddy when I grew up. Now I call him Dad. Granddad, actually. Call him Granddad.
Yeah, we all call him Granddad because he's the granddad of our children.
You're catering to the kids title.
Yeah, good old Granddad. Hi, Granddad. Yeah, I say that. I call my dad Granddad, even if my children aren't around.
That's funny. I call my mom Nana.
Yeah, because you're children.
I don't like it.
You start doing that, don't you? I do it too. Well, and I call in front of my children. I'm like, ask Auntie Serene. And then I see you. Hi, Auntie Serene, sometimes in front of my children.
Yeah, that's so funny. So good old Dad, he spoke this week on the Hilltop. Were you there, Pearl?
Yes, I was
there. And he was talking about how when Jesus spoke in the temple, they were marveled at his words and they said they'd never heard such graciousness come out of somebody's lips. And in the Bible, Dad was saying how what two things kissed each other? It said grace and truth kissed each
grace
other.
Grace needs
so
to
when
come.
We talk truth, there's always grace. They're always a pair. They're always married, grace and truth. So if you don't have gracefulness, graciousness, if there's no grace in what you're saying.
Well, that's where I feel like the social media thing has tripped a lot of us up because there's a lot of, you know, what people consider the truth to be just thrown out there without the grace because we're not seeing one another's faces. Now, granted, some people might be saying something and they're not meaning it to be hurtful, but we're not seeing their smile while they write it either. That person might not be seeing the ouch hurt that their report happens, or there's a face, there's a heart. And so I feel like we all have to actually start envisioning what our, you know, how people are seeing first our post. How is it going to come across? Not the way I'm writing it. How is it going to be perceived on the other end? before we do anything.
Yeah, and I think that's good. I think a filter perception put in place there. Because like the other day,
you've got to start envisioning faces.
Yeah, I wrote like a little article and you were like putting it in the e-zine and you always like neat and tidy it up. You know, help me grammar, help your little sister's Grammy.
Yep.
So you changed one of my lines and I'm like, what? It doesn't make sense to me anymore, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, well, it didn't make sense the first time. And I'm like, well, it did to me. And you're like, well, reread it and imagine the reader.
Yeah, the point being imagine is someone reading it, Sarine.
It's so true. It's like just because you have a certain mindset and it's all clear to you how it's coming across doesn't mean it's really coming across that way. Yeah. And so we have to put a little filter in there that makes us imagine ourselves on the other side.
Yes.
And not maybe having all, you know, all the whatever's in there that makes you understand it. They may be coming from something where they're not seeing all that.
Yeah.
But yeah, because I think some people are sweet, Pearl, and they don't intend it.
Oh, they don't.
But they also don't slow down enough to consider
slow down.
It's kind of a new language.
I mean,
social media is a new language to learn. And that's why I actually, you know, I resisted the emoticons for a really long time. I was like, I'm a grown man.
No, but they help.
I'm not adding a smiley face. That's for like kids and stuff. And I felt like it weakened what I wanted to say. And then I realized that without a face present, an emoticon is actually quite helpful.
It is helpful.
Do you know what's
Danny?
actually genius and very telling? Why they had to come up with emojis.
It is. It's very telling because it's a new language and people are not seeing the face behind it.
Yeah. So, yeah, emojis is more than like an immature, goofy, flippant way at brevity. An emoji is actually a powerful way to communicate with intention.
Yes. This is very, very true. And it brings me to another.
I know I'm going so deep.
No,
with
it's
emojis.
So true, Danny. So true, I think it's real. I was actually having a discussion. I try so hard because you're not going to win anything in an argument on social media, right? Are you? Especially when a friend of yours posts something that's political or religious.
Oh, it's not even a – there's no victor.
There's an ethics or a moral thing going on and they're stating what they think.
Yeah.
So I read this and it was an old friend the other day and I thought, don't go there, Pearl. You disagree. Don't go there. Don't go there. Don't go there.
Yeah, just
then
don't.
I thought, you know, old friend, okay.
Oh, you took the bait.
I took the bait, but I wanted to do it. I'm like – is there any possible way? I just heard Dad's sermon about grace and truth.
Yeah.
I could do this and remain friends and just say, oh, I see it a little differently. So I decided to write, well, how can I do this? Okay, I'll put me into it. I won't say you. I'll say, well, I find this in my own life. And I used like 5 emoticons. And I was like, oh, love you like a brother.
You're going to go over the top with clarity.
I actually appreciate what you said there and there. And guess what? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. He was like, oh, all love for you. I see it differently, but all love. And we left the conversation with differing opinions, but actually listening a little bit to what each other said. And I was like, oh, man, I'm so glad we didn't lose our friendship. And he was okay with what I said.
Yes.
I was like, we can both think about this.
You took the time to communicate intention.
Not that I'm perfect, but I feel like we all have to learn this, Danny. It's a new world.
It's a new language.
It's new waters.
It's so true. And it's because it's not just the words we say, even though we've talked about words being so important. They are. Yeah. I'm not taking away from that. But it's layers upon layers, right? It's not just words, but it's the heart behind words. Like people can say, I love you all day. And when you know there's no heart behind it, it means nothing, right? Yeah. And it's another thing, Graham.
Graham,
but he was talking about how, you know, when you read the Bible, you can't just read it as words, but you, when you know Jesus, when you know who he is for you, when you know that the unsearchable love he has for you, he said, you read the Bible with that with that image of him, with that heart behind, seeing that smile, hearing that tone in his voice as he's saying it. And he says oftentimes when he speaks, you know, to people, he's like, don't just listen to my words. Listen to the way I'm saying it.
Yeah.
And remember the way I'm saying it even more than the words, because I want the emotion to come
across.
It's
true. And you said that, Serena, marriage, right? You know, your husband might have said flippant things to you, flippant, like things that you could isolate and actually get hurt about. But you've said, no, I know his heart is towards me.
Yes.
So I just shove that into his heart. No, he has a good heart toward me.
Yeah.
Rather than isolating it and thinking, because I've isolated things and really ruminated on one sentence. Oh, what right does he have to say that to me? That really was hurtful. You know, and I used to get in the hurtful, not I'm not hardly going to pick up his call. I'm going to be very silent when he talks and all that just because of one sentence. Yeah. But now I've learned, and thank you, Serena, learned from you, to shove it in. No, his heart is good towards me. And it's really helped.
Well, it just takes a lot of emotional, you know, exhaustion out of there because you just rest.
Yeah.
You rest in somebody's heart. Yeah.
I'm not perfect at that though yet. Hey, but I wanted to say this too.
Me neither.
With all, you know, for Danny, Serena and I, Leslie, Pops and John, with all these things, we are going to get, and I no longer really offended at it, people saying, oh, you know, that's annoying. Boy, their podcast is annoying or whatever. But then I asked John, you know, how many people are listening per week? And it's what, up to about 300,000 listens of all our podcasts a week. And if we're getting that many, there's probably going to be, what, 30,000 that hate us too.
Sure.
300,000 that love us, there's probably going to be maybe 10,000. So if we
not
just...
Not everybody loves chocolate.
I know.
Yeah, in my small, it's not small, I suppose, but my immediate family.
That's
yeah,
not immediate. Not, and you didn't say medium-sized family, did you?
No, I said immediate. I said small.
Okay, because you have a large family.
I said small. I just imagined it small to the world, to the huge world that we live in.
In comparison.
There's like three children that hate chocolate.
In your family?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just hate chocolate. They just would prefer vanilla. Wow.
That's unusual.
And you let them live there.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's...
I think more people love chocolate than love our party, but...
They love chocolate more than the podcast?
More people would probably like chocolate.
Oh, totes. I totally understand, but you know, I'm just saying...
That's for sure.
Horses for courses. That's all I'm trying to say.
Dan, you haven't said much this party because I've got more to say, but I want to give you the floor for a minute and your thoughts and ideas on this as you become an Instagrammer on, you know... Social media wise and all that. Do you get any hurtful comments and how do you deal with them?
You know, that's a great question. I actually, in my history of releasing content to my socials, I've gotten one kind of negative thing.
Only one?
Just one.
That seems really, it's because of who you are, you little Dan happy boy or something.
Yeah, well, maybe I've just never taken a stand on anything. You know, I almost take I'm actually not encouraged that it's only one. I'm a little disappointed.
Oh, you want some more controversy?
That's not that I want controversy. It's that am I so amiable? You know what I mean? That everyone's just happy?
But I've seen little comments on some of your stuff, right? But you never even take them as hurtful. I don't think you're easily hurt.
No, I'm not easily hurt, and I'm really. I think I
Men
have a skill
not
at.
Be.
Well, I have a skill at disarming people as well.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
There's no
you
need
do.
To pick
you
up arms.
You are very good at that.
Yeah, that's because I grew up in the hood.
Yeah,
everybody was quick to pick
and
up.
And because
a weapon.
You grew up in the hood, when you see somebody say, "Dan, I hate it when you do that," what on the video? Maybe I've seen something like. Oh, hey, ooh, dirty germs, fingers in there like that, right? That
yeah.
I'd find that sort of hurtful. I have to get over it.
Oh, wow, yeah.
To you, that's nothing. That's not hurtful.
No,
you grew up
no,
in the hood where
no
guns were in your face,
no
right?
No one's cussed at me. No one's shot at me.
Yeah,
this is a bunch of lightweight
so
level.
So that's why you only have one hurtful thing where I could have probably counted 1,000.
Sure, maybe I've had, yeah. Maybe for you, I'm riddled with hate mail weekly.
Yeah.
You know? I think... my first impulse is always to disarm.
Yeah,
rather
I notice you do that.
Yeah, rather than take offense or anything, because at the end of the day, it's all silly.
It is.
This whole, this goes into some of my philosophy of, all of life being kind of a big fun game anyways. Like, once you get past the seriousness of, your job and how everything's so at end of the world and important and, you know, it's so, I love the Joker's quote, why so serious? You know, that's kind of a phrase in my head all the time. Why is everyone so serious? This is a fun game we all get to play called Planet Earth. Mm-hmm. And so when people are really out picketing, you know, there's something going on in Spring Hill. There's a strike, you know, and people are serious about their strike and what they want. And it's there's controversy and there's people on our local Facebook pages arguing and calling each other names. Like grown adults are saying, you, sir, are a buffoon.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, that has no power. That has no meaning whatsoever. And yet the person on the other end is takes one to know one. And it's are you positive that that person is a buffoon? Are you positive? And are you like how is everyone so conclusive? And yet
it's
no
a very
one has,
conclusive place, social media.
It's so
is.
Conclusive, yeah. And it's so we've got you summed up and wrapped up.
I saw one post from you and I know what you're like.
I know what you're about. And really, so much of our venting is a self projection. Like my wife always nails me to the wall when I'm like, God, that person is, it's like they're just a moron. And she's like, you feel like a moron. And I'm like, whoa, I, yeah, okay. Like when you're like putting out stuff on people, it's often from the inside
yeah,
of
true.
You, you
know? We don't know what people are going through either too.
Yeah. And we know? Also don't know like the whole intention thing. Like we also don't know that like you said, someone corrected her and she was like, oh my gosh, why? How could anyone even have been offended at my comment?
She did not intend.
She may have been just trying to start great conversation, you know, and have a community discussion.
I believe that's what her intention was.
Yeah, and yet the lack of emoticons, and she didn't take the time to, you know, if she'd have said, maybe if she would have come like, let me say this as if I'm talking to Serena Pearl to their face.
Yeah, yeah.
It would have come across so much more amiable, you know? So like, yeah, like the online world is its own little world.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene and Pearl. Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y. I was on social media the other day. You know, you've heard of Lauren Daigle. She's a huge Christian music singer.
You say I am loved.
Yeah.
Oh, I love
her. She's incredible, right? And her songs are brilliant. But she said something in a magazine or she got quoted. A lot of people didn't like it.
We don't even know
it.
What she really said anyway.
People
really
can
knows?
Isolate all sorts of things. Serene.
I have been misquoted.
I think Lauren Daigle wears too many wristbands.
Right. Whatever you think of her, it doesn't matter.
But literally, if you read a quote in a magazine,
I don't know.
It doesn't mean the person really said it, believe me, because I've actually had that happen to me.
It's so true.
Serene, if you just looked at what people have said about Serena magazines, so opposite to who she is. I mean, she's not that person. Anyway.
You could say like, I went to the store and hate is such a bad thing and pie is awesome. And they'll take and make you say, I hate pie.
Yeah, they will. Anyway, it was on her social media. Okay, she was saying, hey, guys, coming to Nashville. Would love to see you there. Underneath. This is what I don't get. It's her.
It's like her house, Instagram, her living room.
Her house, her living room, her Facebook page. Underneath, people are talking about her like she'll never see it.
Like she's
Did
not real.
Did you see what she said?
Yeah.
Just obnoxious, hurtful things about her. She's obviously going to look at that page and people are writing really quickly like she'd never see it, like it was done by, you know, some lackey of hers. And it's not true.
I don't even know the conversation and what she's meant to
it's
have said
just
or
awful.
Not. So, but guess what? Even if she said something that even wasn't perfectly, you know, perfectly Bible or perfectly whatever, hey, give her a break. We're all on a journey.
Yes.
We all are on different paths of revelation in Jesus.
Why should Christians be attacking
sometimes
one another like that?
And sometimes we also have times of fear. Fear of man. You know, she's in a huge place.
Yeah.
And at some
she
moment,
don't know what to say.
Maybe you think, you know, I've been in places like that. You know, when we first had our record company, right?
Yes.
No, we were signed a record company, not our record company. And I was getting engaged to Sam. But they wanted us to be single and marketable.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, you know,
single
we want you to hold
off. Wedding ring off.
Yeah, we want you to hold off getting married. And, you know, when you get married, we don't really have to have children or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, not for 3 years.
Mm.
I had no even plan for that. I was going to get married, have a baby straight away if God was willing, you know. And but I just was fear of man, like, oh, whatever you say, sir.
Yeah.
The point is, though, that was the opposite of my heart. And it might have been the opposite of heart, what she said. Sometimes you say something in the moment because it's just you're afraid all of a sudden and you regret it later and you wish you didn't say it. But
And I actually don't know what she said, but a lot of people hate it. But you know what? I just think we need to, back to what you said, Serene, always have grace if there's going to be truth. And even watch your truth on Facebook. Whatever things, what the Bible say, whatever things are lovely, of good report and all these things, those are things we need to be talking about and thinking about.
Yeah. I love it.
And if you don't have something nice to say, don't say nothing at all.
Don't say it at all.
And what right do we have to think and say it on people, right? Because you think the most holy, righteous, most amazing being, Jesus, you know, God, Christ, if he's not thinking and saying that about us when he has every right to, but he's not.
No.
Because that's not who he is. He just looks upon us as loved, the beloved, you know, and because he's not the accuser. So how can we think we have the right
Right.
You know, as imperfect humans against another imperfect human.
Yeah, and that's so true, because who's the accuser in the Bible? It's not God.
No.
God's not the accuser. God's the encourager. There's a person actually with a title of accuser.
Old Slewfoot.
Yeah, Old Slewfoot.
What does that even mean?
I don't know, but it's Satan, Beelzebub, and all the other names. But his name is accuser.
Yeah.
And so anytime we're accusing, I guess we're on his team.
You know, for those of you listening trying to make heads and tails of it and piece it all together, it doesn't mean you can never speak into somebody's life.
No.
There's just so much, but you just don't accuse them. You bring them up brilliantly.
You're worth more than this.
Yes.
You are made for more than this.
I'm in this men's group now. We meet once a week.
Oh, yeah. You were talking about that.
Yeah. They call it a mastermind group.
Neat.
Right? But I think the concept is really neat, because the purpose is for us to speak into each other.
Is it paneled walls and cigars?
No, it should be. No, it's actually in this modern hip office space in Cool Springs.
Cool. Yeah, and but sitting there.
Yeah, we all kind of speak into each other's business and personal lives and stuff, and it's really neat. But I have had to hear some hard things, man.
Have you? People speaking into your life?
Yeah. But it's been really powerful, because I trust these men.
Yeah.
You know, and not just because
they're in your face as they speak it too, right? In front of you.
They're physically in front of me. And that causes them to weigh their words really carefully. You know, because they're actually speaking to a human being that could misunderstand. There's so much more.
Beating heart, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Beating heart, Serene.
Oh, yeah, not to mention the physics of the. We actually do this really cool exercise before. This is off topic, but welcome to the podcast.
Yeah.
Where we all will close our eyes and breathe together. And that sounds a little spooky, right? And it is spooky when you're doing it with strangers at first.
Like you get on the same rhythm of breathing.
Yes. We'll sync up.
That's
because
sort of cool.
And what it does is it just causes us to be much more intentional about the way we interact with each other as the meeting
goes.
Yeah,
it does. I love that, because it's physical empathy.
Yeah, it's totally physical.
Like we're all here just breathing humans.
Yeah, and you're getting on the, what do they say? There was a study I looked at the other day, and you've brought it. You've talked about how sometimes hearts can get in a room.
Yeah.
Beating hearts will start to sync up with other people in the room. And they've studied this in science.
Yeah.
Well,
measurable.
Yeah. Hey, just not getting onto it, you know, going bass from there and south from there. But, you know, woman who.
Yeah, woman cycles.
Oh, yeah.
It all starts to line up.
Oh, it ain't bass?
No, I don't mean just you know, you go from breathing to bleeding, you know, all
fluids.
That stuff. Yeah,
you brought up fluids.
We always go to fluids.
But, you know, it all seems to sync up.
That was poetic.
When we're in empathy with
one
another. You go
from breathing to bleeding. Hey.
I've even heard this. I read this and I don't know how much truth there is, but I think that there's been studies. If you're sick, the best thing you can do is be around healthy people.
Yes, you've
healthy
read
thyroids even.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Sick thyroid, be around a healthy thyroid. Mm-hmm. These things, they have physical energy. They speak to one another. It's not woo-woo. It's just science, people. God's created some awesome stuff here.
Well, I actually love the word energy because when you get into the subatomic world, you know, you microscope
down.
Yeah,
so interesting. Serene, have you read that book yet?
No, did you?
I dropped it at your house, love.
Oh, it was sweet. I was just so like in the mode of, you know, my toddlers and my baby were going.
Yeah, I know you were. I dropped two books.
They were going woo-woo yesterday.
But keep going.
Well, so. You know, you look at your skin and it's made up of all these skin cells that are really close together. But then you zoom into those skin cells and there's like these little tiny things that they call particles. And the best way they know how to describe these particles, like, well, what is a particle? Is energy. It's actually bits of energy. That's what they call it. And so I just find it really fascinating that if you zoom in to like who we even are, it is a coagulation of energy that forms like your heart, your mind, the human body, the leaf on the ground. And it's all these vibrating energies.
And,
like,
and they change.
Oh, they're in constant changing. They pair with other particles to create new things.
And it can be energy of life and then energy of destruction.
Yes. And when noticed under a microscope, they do different things.
Yeah. And they respond.
When looked at, they do different things.
Well, and it gets, if you want to go down the deep rabbit hole, these particles actually respond to human intention.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they respond feelings. To human words.
What you thunk, not just what you said.
Yeah. And I'm like, not only what, like particles.
Is it called? The theory of quantum physics.
No, but there's a, you know, there's a science, and it's when they started to measure the waves.
Yeah, measure
and things.
All these atoms. These atoms.
Psychaceous.
I don't know. But
well,
you
girls,
can look
what
into
we're
it.
Speaking of is wave particle duality.
Oh, so. Okay. Thank you, Danny. But all of that to say, it's all interesting, but you said these men were speaking into your life.
Yes. And
in your face.
Yes. And so, we sync up our breathing. You know, you hear this man beside you breathing. Okay, it's really hard to like hate his politics.
Yeah,
you just all of a sudden see this dude who has come to the conclusion about some things, and they're different than the conclusions you've come to, and that's totally cool.
And these people speak into your life. Obviously, they're in your face. They're doing it with the love.
Yeah.
But I remember you told us here on the potty several times that you've had turning points with a man. That was almost like you didn't have a dad growing up.
Yeah.
I mean, you're reunited with your physical dad now, but there was a man who was almost like a dad substitute that wasn't your dad that lifted you up and said you were made for better things. Remember, he even told you to marry your wife, right? Was that
the
him?
One that died of cancer? That guy.
Oh, you have.
Do I have two?
Looped in three different people.
Okay.
Into one man.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just the way it works.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I had, one guy, several key turning points in my life have been from men who spoke very directly to me.
Yes.
But they were fueled by love for me. And I really sensed that. Because I've had other people tell me things, like I love the true versus truth thing you shared.
Well, it didn't come from me, but boy,
we know
I
it came from Reverend Graham Cook, but Archbishop Canterbury.
And he would hate those words said in front of it. He's like, I'm all into being normal.
Yeah.
Because amazingly normal.
So, yeah, I mean, I've had people like harshly criticize me, and they were probably accurate, but it did nothing for me. Like, it didn't change me. I didn't edit the way I was doing things because it was like, if it's coming from a hate vessel, it can't be right.
Well, this is another,
and I don't need to apply. I don't need to submit to it. I don't need to change anything because that creature certainly can't have input in my life.
And that's why we can receive from God because we know it's love, right?
A love vessel.
And sorry, I'm going to mention it once more, and then I'll take a sabbatical from that just so people know I listen to
Graham
other.
Again?
Yeah, he's
but he's just saying that sometimes he's like God will teach me something. He'll like give me a little telling off or something. But he's like. I won't realize it till 3 days later. And he'll be like, oh, hey, you gave me a little bit of a, I forget the word he said, telling off the other day. And God's like, uh-huh. Like he was just having a conversation. He's like, but I hardly realized it because there was so much love, you know.
Yeah.
So he's like, I always only realize it a few days later because it's just, there's so much love. But anyway, another speaker, Dan Moeller, who I listen to a lot too, another guy just filled with scripture. He was saying, if you have something to say to somebody, just what you said, Dan, and it's truth. If you don't have love for them, you have to, there's no way you got
to
share it.
It's not your job.
It's not your job. The only person to share it is if they're coming from a place of absolute love for the person.
Ooh, that's a big thing.
Even if it's right. Even if you're totally right and they need it. The person needs the truth, but it can't come from you.
Oh, so we actually have to say, you know, if I don't have this love for this person, I better shut up and it's not my place because someone else will do it, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because if you're just venting, you know, venting is not constructive. Venting is destructive. You know, if you're just releasing your
anger. Well, it's the energy, you know, like we said, there might be words that are truthful and needed to be said, but the energy behind it is destructive.
Oh, that's why I've done it a couple of times, then I realized when I saw others do it. You know how you learn from watching others?
Oh, yeah.
You sort of learn.
That's why I love being the youngest.
I know, the youngest of the family. You know, I think early on in my social media days, I did a couple of posts, just need a vent or time to vent. I will never do it now. Nothing good comes from that post. It's negative. It's awful. I don't want to see your laundry. I don't want to see it. Hang out, work with it, deal with it, and come on here and say, hey, how could I be helped with this problem?
Yeah, and I think we all need to take on a new identity as leaders to the world. Like instead of – like followers are venters, you know. Followers are always parroting what they – you know, their favorite political leader said or hating.
Graham Cook. No.
No. You know, leaders quote other leaders.
Well, you know, it's even like the Bible says he's given us you know, teachers and shepherds and prophets and everything to build us up.
Yeah, so it's going to be like Aldi's. You know how Aldi's, I don't know if they know it, we exist, but we keep doing videos and love songs to them.
Yeah.
And Graham Cook might one day know who you are, Serene.
Yeah, but it's not about
me. But see, venting is for followers because when you vent, you're trying to get someone else to lead differently. But when you are constructive and when you're a leader, instead of venting, you have quite thoughtful things to say that are powerful and that will change people's lives because you're taking the responsibility.
It's true, Danny, and that's identity. Am I a leader or a follower? So exactly. Let's be leaders.
If I'm a follower, I'm going to whine and need my leader to change.
Yeah, man. Hey, I think we're done here.
Hey, we are. But I want to say
we all said this in truth and love. I was sort of bringing a hard topic. I don't know how it came across because sometimes I'm actually better when I write my
words.
Came
across good and you were quite kind.
Craft them. You know, you can sort of go back and delete that one and change that one.
Hey, Graham Cook, if you want to make the outrageous level of support we give to you official, write into support@trimhealthymama.com.
Is that going to get deleted?
No.
Yes, it's going to get deleted.
I'm sure it won't.
See ya. Trim Healthy Mama, my way. And then I'll be trim healthy mama to stay.